Oh boy. Welcome to the Band of Audio Books podcast. We are back. Sorry for the long lack of episodes. School was rough and I had a really big project for this that I'm trying to finish. I'm really, really close. I will tell you about it when it's done. Today, for my series on forms of storytelling, I'm going to read you a story that I wrote a while ago, and then in a future episode, I will read it to you in another form of story, and then we will discuss what I think about each form. Neither of them will be very good because, for one, the second one is going to be poetry. I don't do much poetry, so that'll be fun. And this one here is currently a very old story I wrote a while ago. Let's get started, I guess. This story is called The Legume from the Black Lagoon. It was a dark and stormy night, at least that is what it seemed to be, to the party of adventurers as they stepped into the dull gray sand on an unexplored island. They unloaded their gear and readied themselves for the first night there. They picked one of their number to stand guard and lay down to sleep. This worked for a while, swapping guards every few hours as they waited for dawn, but dawn never came. It only grew darker. Soon the three leaders gathered together and, under the sputtering light of torches, consulted their pocket watches. "I say, it seems to be tea time," a bearded old explorer wearing a brown vest exclaimed. "It does, yet it is still as dark as night," said a sensible young lady in western clothing. "I'll start the fire." Third started to leave the circle. "No, you will not." The lady grabbed him by the back of his white shirt. "We need to figure out what is going on. But I can, I think, on an empty stomach." "Tea does sound lovely," the oldest agreed. "I say, someone put on some water," he called to the other members of the party. "This is a scientific expedition, not a pleasure cruise," the girl yelled. "We can talk and drink at the same time." "Sounds good," the young man smiled. "Humph. Sally, you are a killjoy," the older said. "We need to work." Sally sighed and wound her watch as the two men argued over whether they should have Earl Grey or Asim. An owl hooted. The pot shrieked. One of the explorers dropped Earl Grey into it. "Perhaps I could let the automaton explore the lagoon as we have tea," Sally suggested. "Sounds lovely," the older man replied. "Frederick, go help her get it out. I'll see to your tea when it is ready. Your wish be my command." Frederick grinned, and the two of them started toward the boat. They pulled a wooden container out of the hold. Inside of it was a metal box with a hole for a winding key and four propellers. Frederick unlocked a small compartment in the front and slid a moving picture camera into it. They lifted and carefully placed the machine next to the ship. Sally tied a thick black rope to a ring in the back as Frederick started winding it with a large bronze-colored key. "The tea is ready," the old man shouted. "Coming, Carl," Frederick called back. "Come on, Sal, we can complete this later." "We should complete this now." "Well, number two," Carl asked. Frederick then called Sally. "I say, your tea will get cold." Sally muttered something she probably picked up from the cowboy she grew up with, then sent a death glare in the direction of the other two. Frederick watched her wind the automaton with a grin on his face. "He is as large as glass. Why don't you help me wind it?" she hollered at him. "Because tea time should never be interrupted," Carl explained, and muttered, "Americans never remember the little things." The key bounced off the tree he was standing next to, taking a chink out of it. "Feisty, though," Frederick agreed. "Quite." Sally wrestled the automaton into deeper water and flipped the switch that started it. The machine started clicking as Sally stomped back to land. She snatched the china cup from Carl, snapping the handle, and drained it. "Thanks for all your help." "You're welcome," Frederick smiled. Sally clenched her fists and muttered something about not punching idiots, as Frederick and Carl politely ignored her. "I suppose we could explore the forest now," Carl said. "It's about time." "You are too eager, Sally," Frederick complained. "I'm just doing my job." "Stop arguing and get to work. Sally, you stay here and watch that thing," Carl pointed where the automaton was turning up water. "I want to go see the forest." Watch it. Yes, sir. Carl and Frederick gathered some volunteers and vanished into the undergrowth. Sully sat down to watch the machine. Carl and his team pushed farther into the island. Frederick unfolded his claymore and slashed the plants that were too thick to push through. Crows cawed, frogs croaked, and small creatures scuttled all around. Suddenly, all went silent. Carl stopped and raised his hand. What's wrong? Everyone looked around, searching for whatever changed. Sir, Sam is missing. Turn around, we need to find him. The group turned around, and they walked back the way they had come, looking for trails that Sam would have left if he had gone off the trail. There was a scream, and everyone stopped. Carl and Frederick ran to where the scream came from. It's a Mickle mess. Yes, it is. Sam lay dead next to the path, covered with vines that seemed to be decomposing him quicker than natural. Carl unsheathed his rapier and slashed some of the weeds. He picked them up. We should take these back to camp and have a botanist examine them. He looked back down at Sam and removed his cap. May he rest in peace. We'll have a memorial service for him when we get back. Some group arrived back at camp as Sally was pulling the automaton out of the water. Carl made a sad announcement, gave the plant to the botanist. Chatelain did the memorial service, then everyone sadly returned to their jobs. Sully vanished into the ship through the film from the automaton. Carl, Frederick, come here. Found something odd. What is it, Sally? Carl was the first to the ship. Come watch what the automaton got. Frederick manned the projector as Sally pointed out the points of entrance. Look here. There seems to be a P, but look what it is rooted to. The image on the screen vibrated rapidly, and Carl gasped. It acts like the thing that got Sam. The plant was rooted to a fish that was decomposing before their eyes. It was like watching one of those new time-lapse pictures, Frederick observed as the dead fish slid out of the screen. Shots exploded from land and the three leapt up and ran out. A herd of platypus-like creatures was attempting to drag a screaming explorer out of the clearing. Six shots ran out in rapid succession, followed by the platter of shells being ejected. There was a pause and six more shots rang out. Sally's revolver was wreaking its havoc among the creatures. The loss of 12 creatures was just enough for the man to tear himself bitten and scratched away. Carl and Frederick were among them now, furiously chopping and slashing the creatures to bits. Sally reloaded her gun and calmly took care of the ones they missed. What sort of beasties are these? Frederick hollered as one bit a chunk out of his boot. I say, they seem to be creatures found only in Australia, Carl exclaimed. I know. We are not nearly close to there. It is a bit of a contrary, isn't it? Hey. Battle continued. The creatures retreated. Finally, the botanist walked up to Carl, breathing heavily. Carl, what? Seemed to have found something from the family Leguminosae, meaning it's a legume. Like a pea? Yes, nearly exactly, except for its feeding habits. Other than that, identical. So it is. Probably the genus Piscium. Does it have a name? Not to my knowledge, but I think, from its feeding habits, I would call it Piscium P. Saviagum. A scream came from the ship. Carl, the automaton! What about it, Sally? There's a plant growing out of it. Carl's eyes opened wide. Come with me, he said to the botanist, and ran to where Sally was watching in horror as the machine fell apart. The pea thing? Carl asked. Seems to be, the botanist said, examining the plant. So it grows on inorganic as well as inorganic things. What, Sally guessed, if it starts destroying the ship? Carl paled. Pack up, on the ship. Frederick ran up. What's wrong? Plant could destroy the ship. Frederick went white as a sheet, even though he didn't fully understand what was going on. No. Yes. Come on, you louts, Frederick rushed back. Let's get moving. So yeah, that was one of my older stories. I believe this one was playing around with personalities. I believe I did Unflappable Explorers for Carl and Frederick. I don't remember what I was trying to do with Sally, but yeah. So yes, that is why they seemed unbothered by anything. Yeah, so sooner or later I will give you a episode of this in poem form, and we'll see how that goes, and we will discuss that later on. I apologize for the background noise. I assume I'm not going to be able to edit it all out. Our heat here is a lot louder than our air conditioning, and so, yeah. Yeah, you know the drill, where to find us. We're on Facebook, feel free to send us an email, bandofaudiobooks@gmail.com. Love to hear from you. Thanks for listening.